sure how far I'll get with this message. I could get done with it, or I may not. I don't know yet. I know it'll shock you if I don't get done with it and all these kind of things. It's rare if I do get done with a message nowadays. But anyway, Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 1. I appreciate the gift from the teenagers. God bless them, all that. That's a blessing. Of course, I don't know what it is. It might be a prank. But anyway, I appreciate it anyway. Matthew chapter 6, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the first two words of the chapter. It's the first two words, take heed. Take heed. We begin this message tonight preaching down through verse number 18. We'll get as far as we can. It might be the whole thing, may not be. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us tonight. May thy will be done. I pray that you deal with my heart. Thank you for how you dealt with me in the study. And I pray as we bring it to the sacred desk that you'll deal with me again. And as we preach it, I pray that you help it to be understandable. Help us to see the truth for what it is. And may you teach us from the pages of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to these opening verses of chapter 6, we're in the middle of what's called the Sermon on the Mount, in which our Lord is teaching some wonderful truths. Now in chapter 5, we heard the Beatitudes. By the way, we're going to be quoting those Sunday night, God willing. I hope you're memorizing them. Matthew 5, 3 to 10. We saw the similitudes of the believer. I didn't preach on it because I'd preached on it before, but the similitudes, you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. Then we saw the high standard of God's law that shows us our need of the Lord's righteousness. Now, when we come to chapter 6, we take our title and our theme from the opening two words, take heed. Now, these words mean to pay attention to. It means to be cautious about. Now, as we travel through these opening 18 verses, we will see what the Lord was telling these people to take heed to. He's saying, I want you to pay attention to some things. I want you to be cautious about some things. Now, as we look at this, there are three separate areas of the Christian life that the Lord puts on display for us that we are to take heed to as we partake of them. Now, keep in mind that there were people living in this day that the Lord called hypocrites. He brings them out in this chapter. Now, a hypocrite is defined as an actor under an assumed character. It's the idea of somebody wearing a mask on the outside and concealing his or her true identity. Now, these were those who would look very good on the outside but were rotten on the inside. These were those who would talk a big talk and look a big look, but they never walk the walk in its sincerity. Now the Lord proceeds to speak concerning these three areas of a Christian's life. He speaks concerning giving alms. Now we're going to look at these things. He speaks concerning praying, and he speaks concerning fasting. Now notice how the Lord did not say, if you give alms, and if you pray, and if you fast. He doesn't say that. He says, when you give alms, when you pray, when you fast. In other words, we see that it is good and right in the eyes of God to be engaged in all three of these actions. However, the Lord speaks by saying, take heed when you do these things. In other words, he wants us to know that his concern, now get this, folks, this right here is basically what we're talking about. He wants us to know that his concern is not when we give alms, when we pray, and when we fast. His concern is why we pray, why we give alms, and why we fast. As we look at these things together, the main point is crystal clear that the Lord is teaching. He is teaching us to do. In other words, he's saying, what you do, you should do it for the approval of God, not the applause of man. Now, folks, listen to me. Someone has said the most important part of a Christian's life is the part that only God sees. And I'm going to tell you something. This is basically what the Lord is teaching us in these 18 verses. Now, there are many things we're going to talk about, but that's the main thought. That's the one thing I want you to leave with. That's the one thought that what I'm going to do is just hit it from different directions. That thought is this: we ought to be living the Christian life not to be seen of man, but for the glory of Almighty God. This is the thought that comes out. And folks, this applies to every area of life. He just happens to talk in illustration about giving alms, praying, and fasting, but I maintain with you that this same thought is true about all the Christian life. I'm talking about you ought to be witnessing because God is pleased with your witnessing. You ought to read your Bible not because man sees you read your Bible, but because God sees it and you understand your recognition and dependence upon Him. Your marriage should revolve around this. Husbands ought to love their wives and take care of them and protect them and keep trash out of their house. Why? Not because they're in Buffalo Ridge, but because they're in God's family and God is pleased with those kind of things. I'm asking you tonight, what are you doing in the Christian life? And then on top of that, here's the message: why are you doing it? Somebody says, I'm teaching a class. Why are you teaching that class? I'm doing everything in the church. I'm knocking doors. Why are you knocking them? I've got a bus route. Why do you have it? You say, well, I'll tell you one thing. My name's never in the bulletin. Then you need this message. Because this is what God is talking about. The Lord is saying, I want you to take heed that when you partake of good things in praying and giving alms and fasting, that you're doing it for the right motive. And that motive is to please God. Now, this being the case, I found an illustration that kind of summarizes this. At the end of a concert, on one occasion, there were two ushers applauding harder than anybody in the whole of the crowd. The people who were music lovers smiled as they saw these two apparent music lovers who appreciated all the notes that were played. They were all in the right order until one of the ushers stopped and said to the other one, "Keep clapping, you dope. For if we get an encore, we get overtime pay." In other words, what's their motivation here? They were doing the right thing before people. They were even making people feel good about it, but their motivation was money. And I'm going to tell you something, in the Christian life, a lot of times it's no different. It's not what man sees, it's what God knows, my friends. And I'm telling you that this is what he's talking about. Why do you do what you do for Christ? Let me ask you this question. I appreciate you being here, but why'd you come? Why'd you come? To ease your conscience? Just because you know you need to? Or because you love Jesus? Now I'm telling you, this hits home. This is what he's dealing with. Do you do what you do to be seen of men or to be seen of God? God forbid that we have leaders here tonight who know it's a qualification to come on Wednesday night and that's the only reason they're coming, because they don't want their testimony to be heard. Can I say something to you? If that's your attitude, you don't need to be here, because you already have your reward. You know what it is? You know what the word reward means? It means a pay. It means an account that's closed. When God said, if you do this, they have their reward, you know what he's saying? He's saying, you've got your reward, it's paid off, the account's closed, you have nothing else. If you're out for a man's applause, then that's exactly what you'll get, and it stops there too. Can I say this to you? May I say this to you? If your motive is man, no wonder many people quit. No wonder people give up and give in and give out, if you will. I'm telling you, when God's the motive, you'll never quit on God, because he'll never let you down. He'll never fail you. Now let's look at these things together. First of all, take heed, number one, when thou doest alms. I'm taking my points directly from the text tonight. Number one, take heed when thou doest alms. Look at verses 1 to 4 again. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, here it is, when thou doest an alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, alms here is giving to those who are in need. It's giving to a worthy cause, if you will. Now let's look at these verses here. Verse 1, I'm just going to summarize what these verses are saying. We're to take heed when we do our alms. Now, again, our alms are compassion. A benefaction, if you will, exercise towards somebody who's needy. In other words, when we do these alms, in verse number 1 it says we're not to do them to be noticed by man. Because if we do, we get our payment when man starts applauding. By the way, that doesn't mean that they're ever going to get up and applaud you like this. But if you're doing it to get patted on the back, in other words, if you're doing it to be seen of men, if you're doing it because you know the pastor's watching, or your children are watching, or your husband or wife are watching, can I say something to you? If that's your motive, then that's your pay. That's it. That's it. Verse number 2, when we give to the needs of others, we are not to sound a trumpet before us to have the glory of men. Now, it's been said that when Pharisees back in this day wanted to give something to the poor, and it was their custom to go down to a busy street corner in Jerusalem, and they'd blow a trumpet so others would be aware that they were getting ready to take care of this poor person. Now, that's ridiculous. And yet Jesus Christ is saying, if you do that, you get your reward when the eyes of man see it. That's your reward. Their payment was made and the account was closed. It's been said that when a hen lays an egg, she many times cackles. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, don't draw attention to your giving. Verse number 3, I'm just paraphrasing these things. When we give, we're to give it so our left hand doesn't know what our right hand does. Now this doesn't mean that our giving is to be so secret all the time, because the Lord commended the widow who brought in public here the two mites. But what he's saying here, the emphasis here is to be that our giving is to be in such a manner that our left hand doesn't know what our right hand's giving. You know what he's teaching? He's saying don't boast in yourself for what you're doing. If nobody else knows, you know what you're giving. And you ought to make your giving so secret that your left hand is not aware of what your right hand's doing. In other words, you can be your own motive. He's saying if your motive is so you think you're good and boy, look how much I'm giving and boy, look how much, boy, if they only knew how much I give, they'd treat me better. This is the kind of thing. Don't give in such a way that your left hand knows what your right hand's doing. He's saying, don't you be boastful in yourself either. I'm telling you, the Word of God's practical, isn't it? Honestly. And we go on here. Now, in other words, we're to forget about it ourselves. We ought to give it to where when we give it, it's over. It was pleasing to the Lord. It's a blessing that we should give, but we should never dwell on it. Look how much I gave. Man, wasn't that great? God's saying, don't live like that. Your motive should not be man. Your motive should be God. Then in verse number 4, right here, when we give in this way, that pleases God. And He will reward us openly. Now, I don't know what all that means. But it sure sounds good, doesn't it? Honestly. I mean, look at verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, how's He going to reward you openly? I don't know. I don't care, but I want it. Do you want it? Do you want God to reward you openly? And God said, if you want me to reward you openly, then you make your giving in alms in secret. You don't be giving just so other people can see it. You don't be giving so you can pat yourself on your back. You give your alms. Yes, I'm pleased. You ought to be giving alms. You ought to be giving towards worthy causes. But you do it not to be seen of men, but to be seen by the all-seeing eye of God. And that's it. That's it. So I ask you, are you giving? Are you giving? If you are giving, why are you giving? Is it for the applause of man or the approval of God? It's been said giving is between you and God, and the moment you include a third party, you have no credit in heaven. That's a powerful statement. God takes no account on the amount of money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills under them. He doesn't need your silver and gold. The Bible says all the silver and all the gold is mine, God said. He doesn't need our money. He's not impressed saying, boy, look how much they gave. You know what He's looking for? Not how much, but why. What's your motive? Now, you've got some great opportunities, and I've got great opportunities to give to the Lord this Christmas season. The India trip and these bags and the birthday offering for Jesus and all these other kind of things. We have a great opportunity. But I'm going to tell you something. You ought to be more concerned about why you're going to give than how much you're going to give. Make sure that your heart is right. Make sure the heart is where it needs to be. Somebody said this, when the doer takes least notice of his or her good deeds, God takes most notice of them. Let me say that again. When the doer takes least notice of his or her good deeds, God takes most notice of them. In other words, there are people today, I trust they're not in this church, but if they are, it's not shocking because there's people like this everywhere. I hope it's none of us. I hope it's not me. I could have been guilty of this before. I hope not. But the human nature wants to be patted on the back, friends. The human nature wants man to know a good thing that they've done. Human nature wants to be recognized. Don't tell me you don't, friends. I don't care who you are. I don't care how shy you are. The human flesh wants to have that. And Jesus is saying, take heed. Be cautious that when you give your alms, that's not what you're after. Because if that's what you're after, then that's your reward, and that's all you're going to get. That's powerful, friends. I don't know if you're grasping what Jesus is saying here. I'm telling you, it's important why we do what we do. I did a favor yesterday, a kindly little deed, and then I called to all the world to stop and look and heed. They stopped and looked and flattered me in words I could not trust. And when the world had gone away, my good deed turned to dust. And that's exactly what the Lord is teaching. Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. That's what God said. So take heed, number one, when thou givest alms. Number 2, verses 5 to 15, we see secondly, take heed when thou prayest. When thou prayest. Notice verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, Let me just highlight these verses again, just paraphrase what's going on, summarize the verses. Verse number 5, you can read it later, or you can read it while I'm even just summarizing it for you here. He's saying we're not to pray as the hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets to be seen of men. Now, in other words, these people would get in an open view of others, and they were praying. Now, get this. They were praying to catch the eye of man, not the ear of God. They wanted the eye of man, not the ear of God. They wanted to show other people, look how spiritual I am. I pray in the middle of the day. They were drawing attention to themselves. Verse number 6. When we pray, we're not to draw attention to ourselves, but rather find a secret place and pour out our hearts to our Father. May I say here that you can be alone with God even in the midst of a crowd? Now, what I mean by that, it's a heart attitude. The thought here is the attitude of the heart, not the position of the body. Now, it would be good to find a solitary place. Now, a solitary place can be anything. I mean, I think one of preacher's solitary places in the woods, over by the lake, and all of that. I think that's great. You know what one of my major solitary places is for prayer? My truck. I shut the world out. I get in this building, phones are ringing. All these other kind of things. People know where I'm at, they can find me. But in my truck, I can pull anywhere. And I can spend some time with God. The Lord set the example in this in Mark 1:35 when it says he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. In other words, in verse number 6 where it says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That closet is a solitary place. You ought to find a solitary place. But I maintain with you that you can be in solitary confinement, if you will, with the Lord. Confinement's not the right word, but fellowship with the Lord, even if in a group of people all around you. In other words, you're just not to draw attention to yourself. It's a heart attitude. Again, he's driving home the nail here. I want you to pray, but more importantly, I want your spirit to be right. I want you to pray with the right attitude. I want you to have the right motive. Verse number 7. I'm just paraphrasing these verses, just summarizing them. When we pray, we're not to use vain repetitions, thinking our much speaking will guarantee God's listening to us. Now, what does this mean, vain repetitions? Well, some rabbis taught that oft-repeated prayers, in other words, just keep praying, all this kind of stuff, would guarantee the desired effect. And this doesn't mean that we're not to keep praying in the will of God. Stay with me here. After all, the Lord Jesus repeated a prayer request in Matthew 26:44. The Bible says, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So it's not talking about just repeating a prayer. What it's talking about here, folks, listen to me, it's a vain recital of words made for the sake of lengthening your prayers and making it seem that if you had to inform God of something. Because the Bible says in verse number 8, following up with this, but be not ye therefore likened, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. What's he mean by vain repetitions? He means something that's without heart. It's given before man, and it's just repeated over and over and over again because you think the longer you pray, the more spiritual you are. Do you understand what he's saying here? He's not saying just pray once and never pray about it again. No, Jesus prayed the same words 3 times. Jesus teaches that we ought to be continually coming to him, begging him for things. What he's talking about is vain, empty repetitions. The key word there is vain. They're empty. They mean nothing to God. This is verse number 7. Verse number 8, he's saying we're not to pray like the hypocrites. Our Father already knows what we had need of before we even ask him. In other words, we're not to pray as to inform the Lord, but we're to pray out of a sincere heart to the Lord and his grace in our lives. Verse number 9, I'm going to stop here because I'm talking about verse number 9 because I'm planning on getting done a little bit early tonight. Everybody said, amen. The reason I'm saying that is because what's called the Lord's Prayer, I don't want to fly through it. I want to give myself time to get through it so you understand what he's saying. By the way, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. This is, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll say that later. Verse number 9. The Lord gives us a pattern for our prayer life. Notice he didn't say, pray these words. Now, I'm not going to fight people and I'm not going to split hairs if you say this prayer at night before you go to bed. But that's not what the Lord's teaching. He is not but after all, what has he just told you to take heed about? Vain repetitions. Right? Right or wrong, folks? Right. He just said take heed that you don't repeat vain repetitions. So why in the world would he say, now pray this every night? That's not what he's teaching. Now, again, I'm not going to split hairs with somebody, especially a kid. You know, if your child says this, glory to God. I mean, hallelujah, you know. We're not jerks about this. But what he's doing, he's giving a pattern. He didn't say pray these words. He said pray after this manner. In other words, these are principles. These are major principles he's given for prayer. In other words, he says, our Father. I'm getting ahead of myself here. He's given a principle here. Which art in heaven, he's given a principle there. Hallowed be thy name, he's given a principle there. What is it? You have to wait. Probably Sunday night when I bring this out, I don't know yet. But what I'm saying to you in verse number 9, again he's saying take heed. He's saying keep in mind these thoughts when you pray. This is not vain repetition. This is pleasing prayer to God. You with me? This is what he's saying. So we're going to look at this prayer here, God willing, probably Sunday night. And I hope you'll be here to hear it. And let me go back and make sure you're with me. Because this is strange. It's early. This is strange. I know you like it. Somebody said, yes. You know, preacher, watch. My mom got me a watch for my birthday. And I'm finishing early tonight. Have you a hope? How many of you hope I wear my watch from here on out? Would you raise your hand? You hope I wear my watch? Yes. Good. How many of y'all do not care if I wear my watch? Would you raise your hand? Notice that I think one person, there's two people. How many of y'all could just care less that you're even alive? Would you? I'm just kidding with you. Here's the whole thought tonight. Here's what I want you to leave with. Now, I'm closing my Bible. Don't you close yours. Here it is. Matter of fact, you teach me. Somebody stand to your feet and tell me. In Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 to 18 on the words take heed, he's talking about giving alms, he's talking about praying, he's talking about fasting. What is the one major thought that I want you to leave with tonight? What is it? Somebody raise your hand. Brother Steve, stand up if you don't mind. I'm putting you on the spot. What is the key center? What's the major thought? What is he saying? Take heed, then you finish it. What is it? That's it. That's it. That's it. You say that's simple. That's the way I like it. Because if Brother Steve can get it, everybody can get it, okay? I'm kidding. But that's it. That's it. Now, here we go. What are you going to do with it? What difference does it make in your life? What difference does it make what you heard tonight? Well, I need to be giving. Are you? Sure. Why? Maybe you need to get on your face and ask God to help you. Are you praying? Sure. Why? Do you pray more in private or public? This is what the Lord's teaching. Amen. We're only started. God willing, we'll finish it Sunday night. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that these principles are so simple, but yet they'll change our life. Lord, you are interested. Yes, you're interested in our praying. You're interested in our giving alms. You're interested in our fasting. Interested in living the Christian life. But more importantly, you're interested in why we do these things. Help our motive to be right. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. I ask you this question. Are you doing the right thing for the right reason? Are you doing the right thing for the right reason? Are you? Maybe some of you need to come to the altar and say, God, help my motive to be right this week. Let me tell you why some people sign up to teach but they never visit. even though it's a qualification. Let me tell you why that happens. Their motive is off. Their motive is something else. It's not God. It can't be. Because if it was the Lord, there's no doubt they'd be out knocking doors. You follow what I'm saying? Maybe you want to come to the altar and say, God, help my motive to be right. By the way, by coming to the altar doesn't mean your motive is wrong. Maybe you're just saying, God, help my motive to be right. Maybe some of you Sunday school teachers and some of you bus captains, you got a great work ahead of you this week. If you're not careful, the devil's going to try to get your eyes on something else. The Lord wants your eyes to be on Him. How many deacons will come to the altar and say, God, help us, help our motive to be right this week? How many Sunday school teachers will stand to your feet and come to the altar and say, God, help our motive to be right this week? How many bus captains will come, and bus drivers, and just people who are attending the church or somebody leading another ministry, say, God, help me and help our motive to be right. Help my motive to be right. Help me to take heed that I don't do the right things the wrong way and for the wrong reason. Father, help us now, I pray. Help people to respond. Bless us as we sing. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. You are seated. Your eyes are closed. Your heads are bowed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. I invite Sunday school teachers, Sunday school workers, bus captains, bus drivers, bus workers, deacons, leaders, just attenders, whatever the case may be, stand to your feet, come to this altar. I'm going to get on my face. I hope you'll get on your face. And let's beg God that He helps our motive not to be man-centered, but God-centered. Same way with marriage and everything else. As Brother Gary sings, who will join me? Come on, let's talk to God about it. Let's
search
pray to the Lord about it.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
As they play through software, I'd like you to look this way. And those who get done praying, I'd like you to stay right where you're at, but just look up at me when you're done praying. I'm telling you that what the Lord is speaking about here, I know I got done early, but I'm carrying it on. I understand. But I hope you see that this is what the Christian life is all about. This is it. It's not what we do, it's why we do what we do. Now, there are many people who are not even doing these things. Amen? Now, many people don't even do these things. Well, we already know that their motive is off, right? You ought to do these things because Jesus told you to do them. But then as you do them, you have to take heed, God said. Jesus said, take heed. Be cautious about this. Pay attention to this right here. Don't let this slip. That when you do these things, you make sure that your motive is God. You do it for Him. Just so He sees and He knows. That's all that matters. This is the Christian life. You see that, don't you? So we all need to get on our face every day of our life and say, God, help us to do the right thing today because you told us. And then as we do it, help our attitude to be right in it. Help us to do it to please you, not to please man. That's Matthew chapter 6. And this is what we all need. From me all the way down, I need this because we are all tempted to do what we do to be seen of man, not God. And I don't know about you, but I want some heavenly rewards, don't you? Wouldn't you like God to pay you someday? Think about it. So what's he saying? If you do it for man, you already have your reward. What's he saying to those who don't do it for man? They don't have their reward yet. I want the reward yet, don't you? We got to do it for God. Amen. This is it. This is it. This is it. Brother Gary, sing that second verse, and if you're through praying, you can go back to your seat. We'll be dismissing this time.
I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Oh,
good. Brother Gary's sounding good tonight, isn't he? Amen. I know there's choir practice after this. And that's good. All right? Let's all pray and ask God to bless. Hope you'll be back this coming weekend. Help us get the word out now for Gift Sunday. Help take advantage of it. Those flyers are available. Tracts are available out there for you. Let's bombard our cities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Bless us now. Touch and anoint this church and help this place to be a place that we do what we do for the glory of God. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Love you. Most of you. I'm kidding with you. Have a great night. We'll see you on Sunday.